This is KUT. Law enforcement officials are not calling the Austin serial bomber a terrorist, and that's frustrated some people. But as KUT's Audrey McGlinchey reports, the evidence police have shared with the public doesn't yet support the federal government's definition.
When Natalie Rogers defines the word terrorist, she starts with the root.
Someone who is trying to invoke terror.
And for some everyday Austinites like Rogers, the serial bomber successfully did that. Over the last 3 weeks, explosions in Austin killed 2 people and injured 4. The serial bomber died early Wednesday morning. He detonated a bomb in his car as police closed in. But before we knew who he was, some people said the seemingly random bombings changed their daily routines.
I had a friend who lived on the same street as one of the package bombs, and for her to be scared to, like, go to a park or, you know, that's a terrorist. Like, someone who's changing people's lives for the worse and, you know, making them feel terrorized to go out and do the normal things they would do every day.
Even though the words are enormously similar, there's a vast difference between being terrorized and what terrorism is.
Bruce Hoffman is a fellow with the Council on Foreign Relations in D.C. He's written books on terrorism, and he says for someone to legally be a terrorist, we have to consider their motives.
The act of violence has to be placed within a larger context of some political movement or of a broader ideological framework.
This can run the gamut, someone shooting employees at a Planned Parenthood clinic to send a message about abortion, to the 9/11 attacks. There has to be a larger aim, coercion or intimidation towards a political or ideological goal. Let's consider the shooting in Charleston, then. In 2015, a 21-year-old white man named Dylan Roof killed 9 black parishioners at a South Carolina church. The motive? To incite a race war. I mean, that sounds like ideological coercion. Hoffman agrees.
My view, there's not much of a debate whether someone like Dylan Roof is a terrorist or not, because he has ascribed political motives to that horrific killings in Charleston, South Carolina.
But Roof was charged with other crimes because there's actually no federal criminal charge for domestic terrorism. According to NPR, the government can still use the label, and when it does, it allows them to investigate or surveil someone. Erin Miller spends her days deciding what's terrorism and what's not. She runs the Global Terrorism Database out of the University of Maryland. It's exactly what it sounds like, a database of terrorist acts. Most of Miller's funding comes from the federal government, and she gets that for some people who feel terrorized, the legal definition of terrorism can be frustrating.
It's very unsatisfying for people who are afraid to tell them, you know, oh, sorry, this isn't terrorism.
I asked Miller, what happened in Austin? Is that terrorism? She says she needs more information, particularly about the victims.
Some suggestion that the pattern may have been racially based. That's certainly something we're interested in knowing more about.
The first 3 victims were black or Latino, leading people to question if this could be a hate crime. But there's also the bomber's motivation.
I understand there was a recording that was made. That type of statement made by perpetrators often have useful information about why they did something.
According to police, the bomber left a 25-minute video on his phone. They called it a confession. But police said in this video he did not, quote, mention anything about terrorism.
If you're trying to send a message to someone and we don't know what the message is, it's not working.
Without a clear message of what the bomber's aim was, it's hard to describe his violence as terrorism. Take the shooting in Las Vegas. A 64-year-old man shot at concertgoers from a hotel, killing 58 people. But legally, we can't call him a terrorist.
At the end of the day, we have 0 indication whatsoever that he was ideologically motivated. And if he was, he certainly didn't do a good job of sending that message.
UT professor Eric Tang published an op-ed in the New York Times Thursday. In it, he wrote about the effects of the Austin bombings on the city's minority communities. He quoted a lifelong East Austin resident, Gilbert Rivera. He told Tang he was hurt when local politicians, quote, didn't acknowledge that black and brown people were under attack after the first 3. Terror is terror, even if it may not qualify as terrorism. Audrey McGlinchey, KUT News.